Book of Psalms, Psalm 146. So you've got the Book of Job and then Psalms and then Proverbs, so fairly well through the Old Testament, about halfway through your Bible though. Book of Psalms, Psalm 146. Short psalm I'd like to read with you. I've been looking at these psalms recently myself. Psalm 146 and verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth for ever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign for ever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." Let's just ask for God's help again. Let's pray. Our Father, we do just come into thy presence. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, that it's living and it's powerful and that it's able, our Father, to meet need that we are not. And so we ask for special help tonight. Bless the word of God, our Father, to each of us. We pray that in grace the Holy Spirit of God would speak to us. And we pray, Father, that we each might see our need of the Lord Jesus. And we ask, our Father, that we each might know what it is to have our sins forgiven and to trust in the Saviour who died for us. We pray, our Father, for help tonight. Give us help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 146. We're going to do something tonight that as a wee boy I was told that you should never do. As a wee boy, I used to love to listen into other folks' conversations, especially my parents. And I loved it when they had visitors, and I would sit at the or lie pretending to be asleep and listening into what they were talking about. My, you never realised I was that nosy, did you? Well, I was always told you should never do that. But in Psalm 146, we're going to do it tonight, and we're going to do it with divine permission, because this psalm, Psalm 146, is really as listening in nosily into somebody else's conversation, and it's perhaps the most intimate kind of conversation that you could listen into. Because Psalm 146, verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord," the Hebrew for that is hallelujah, "praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." This is a man speaking in private conversation to his own soul, and you don't get any more private than that, and you don't get any more intimate than that. And that is one of the reasons I love the book of Psalms and why I quite often speak on it. It's because this book of Psalms really opens up to us, more so I think than any other book of the Bible, the inner thoughts and the inner passions and the inner desires of a man who is seeking after God and who knows God and who finds God. This book of the Bible isn't just a book of rules and regulations. It's a book about having an experience of the God of heaven. It's a book of how you and I connect with God. It's a book that tells me that tonight, if I'm not saved, if I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour, then heaven is shut out to me. God doesn't speak to me. And the reason he doesn't speak to me is not because he can't. It's not because he's got some disability, but it's because of the sin in my heart. It blanks him out, it separates him out, it cuts him off. And the message of this book is that God has done something, that my sin might be forgiven, and that I might be brought into a living relationship with him now and forever. And he's done that through Jesus Christ. God has given his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for my sins, my very worst sins. He's taken and he's put upon his Son at the cross of Calvary, and God offers to forgive those sins, unconditionally forgive those sins, without you paying a penalty, without you doing any time or any service or paying him back. He offers to unconditionally forgive every sin you've ever committed, because his Son, in unbelievable love, died for those sins at the cross of Calvary. And in the book of Psalms, a man discovers a God who is able to forgive sin, to cleanse him, to make him a new creature. And in this great book of Psalms, we've got the inner thoughts of that man. Not just the preaching of the message, but the inner thoughts of that man who knows God. So Psalm 146. Now, the little title I've given to my message tonight is this. It's really a question. And the question that I want to leave you with is this. What have I got to praise God about? What have I got to praise God about? Because this man in Psalm 146, verse number 1, is speaking to his soul. And I don't know if you talk to yourself. My mother used to say it's all right to talk to yourself as long as you don't get answers back. Well, this man talks to himself. And I think we've got a little clue as to what is going on in his soul as he talks to himself. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It's almost as if he's saying, look, will you not just praise the Lord? Will you not just speak to God? Will you not just open up your heart self? There's something come into his life, and the self is holding back from God, and he's got something against God. He's got some kind of grudge against God. He's had some kind of difficulty, and he's having to say to himself, open up and praise God. You see, what's gone wrong? Well, this man, I think this man in Psalm 146 has gone through the previous few psalms that we have in the book of Psalms, and you'll find that from Psalm 140 through to about Psalm 143 that you've got four great psalms of suffering. This man has gone through a difficult patch in his life. And from those experiences of suffering, he makes four cries in the previous psalms. Psalm 140, he feels that his life's a battleground, it's a battlefield, and he's fighting. And you get a cry from the battlefield in Psalm 140. Verse 7, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And then in the next psalm, it's a cry from the altar. He feels that his life's been taken and put upon the altar and being sacrificed to God. Psalm 142, he feels that he's in prison. Psalm 142, verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. He's trapped. Men can put us in physical prisons, but Satan puts us in a spiritual one, and it'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever. And as the Lord opens that up and releases us, Psalm 142, verse 7, he feels he's trapped in an inner prison. And Psalm 143, he feels he's almost in the grave, going down into the pit. Psalm 143, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down in the pit. He's been through it all. He's been through deep, dark experiences. And he has to stop, and he has to speak to himself and say to himself, when that barrier comes between him and God, he has to say, soul, will you not praise God? What makes a person praise God? I suppose there might be three reasons why this psalmist could praise God. Maybe you've met people over the years and they're a kind of strange kind of character. They're quite happy to tell you that there's a God in heaven, and they're quite happy to praise him because everything's all right with them. I don't know if you've ever met that kind of a person. They're kind of, they live their own little life, and they're cut off from all the problems of the world round about, and they're happy to praise the Lord because it's fine with me. They're deceived. They're deceived. They think because they're okay, everything's okay, and they can praise the Lord anyway. Is that the kind of man we've got here, a man that's deceived? No, it's not. He's a man that's gone through suffering. He's gone through the kind of difficulties we've just described. And if this psalm is written by the person who wrote most of the psalms, which is David, then this is a man who knows fully and truly about all of the problems of life. David, that wrote most of these psalms, you'll remember, was a man who knew what it was to have two sons murdered, two of them. He knew what it was to see a daughter raped, another child lost in infancy, a throne taken off him, to be robbed of all of his possessions, and to have his son put out a warrant for his death. This isn't a man that's cut off from the realities of life and lives in a wee cocoon. This is a man that knows all about all of the bitter experiences, more than I've ever known. And yet, he's able to say, praise you the Lord. How'd you do that? How'd you go through all of those experiences and still say, praise you the Lord? He's not deceived. He knows about the realities of life. Is he mad? Is he mad? I mean, if you were to go through all of those kind of experiences and cry, praise the Lord, maybe there's something just a bit unstable about you. Maybe there's something a little bit deluded about you. And as you look through the Psalms and you try and get an angle on this man, you try and get a handle on him, what kind of a man is he? Is he a mad person? And you go through this book of Psalms and you try and piece it all together. You see that this person that wrote this book and this person that wrote this psalm, he isn't mad. He's got tremendous insight to what I am and to what you are. He's got tremendous insight into who God is. There's a tremendous intelligence about this man. Let me just trace through some of the things that this man teaches us, or this man moved by the Spirit of God teaches us. Well, if you've got your book of Psalms open, flick back with me, would you? I want just to make four little points, just to show the teaching of the book of Psalms. This is a gospel meeting. It is a kind of introduction to the Word of God. And so let's just take a moment to get a grip on this man. What kind of a man is he? What kind of things does he talk about? Psalm 19, I'm in. It's Psalm number 19. Four little thoughts I want to share with you about this man. I'm just trying to prove that he's not mad. He's not deluded. He's a very smart person. He's very clever. He's not mad. Psalm number 19. He's going to tell me about the majesty of the Creator. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, that's just the sky or above the sky, the firmament shows his handiwork, the space out there. Day unto day utter his speech, night unto night knoweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This man was going to start his message to me at the beginning of the book of Psalms with a description of the majesty of creation and the majesty of the Creator. That forms a foundation to everything in this book. The fact, have you noticed that when you get up in the morning, the room vibrates like a washing machine? Have you noticed that? Somebody was telling me that it should. Because we spin round the sun at so many thousand miles an hour. And because things that spin vibrate, you put something in the washing machine, you put your trainers in the washing machine, guarantee it'll vibrate. The earth ought to vibrate as it goes round the sun, it ought to jitter. But for some reason, somehow there's a little planet just at the right distance from the earth called the moon, and it's just the right size and it spins at just the right angle that offsets that jitter. So that's why you don't feel the floor vibrating when you get up in the morning. It should, but it doesn't. Because God said it all perfectly. The creation declares the glory of God. I take God seriously because that's a very complicated creation out there. In every one of your cells, there's information. We've often spoken about it. Share one or two new facts about it. In every single one of your cells, there's information. It's called DNA. It's like a language of letters. Every single one of your cells has 2.9 billion letters in it. 2.9 billion letters. You have 100 trillion cells in your body, each with that information, 3.9 billion letters in 100 trillion cells all crammed into your body to make you what you are. Now, if you're into computers, I quite like computers, I like playing with computers, somebody's calculated the computer size that God has put inside you. Quite impressive. 2.9 billion letters per cell equates to 715 megabytes. Right? So here's the figure. If you go out and buy a new phone, a really smart phone at the moment, the iPhone, very clever, taking men hundreds of years to invent the iPhone, cost you about £300 or £400. It has 32 gigabytes of information into it. You and your body have 71 trillion gigabytes of information. That's massively big. Is it smart, though, that information? I remember when I was a wee boy, I went to school with a wee girl called Mathia. Mathia was a year older than me. Mathia was a wee girl who was often off school. She was a sickly child, and she wasn't as tall as the other girls in her class. And at the age of 11 years, Mathia never came back to school. Mathia died. It wasn't for another 15 or so years that I discovered why it was that Mathia had died, when I went and I had done a project on cystic fibrosis. 2.9 billion letters in every single one of your cells. Mathia's cells missed one letter. Just one letter. The deletion of a little letter called F from position 508 on one of her chromosomes. She had cystic fibrosis, one letter wrong out of 2.9 billion, and you don't survive past 10. Very precise. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. At the foundation of everything that I know and possess in this world lies an intelligence beyond my understanding, beyond my scrutability, a God who finally tunes a universe to make the world just the right size relative to the moon, relative to the sun, and is able to compact 71 trillion megabytes of information into my body, and so that if one letter out of 2.9 billion is wrong, I don't see 10. He's very clever. And that's the foundation of everything. We take him seriously because he's so clever. The psalmist will speak about the majesty of the Creator. The same psalmist, if you've got your psalms open, psalm number 50, just flicking over here, psalm number 53, he'll speak also about the misery of man. The misery of man. So this man has a handle on what life is about. Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They're altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This psalmist is going to tell me, first of all, about the majesty of the Creator. Then he's going to tell me about the misery of man. He tells me that every single person has fallen. Every single person has sin in them. Every one of them, Psalm 53, verse 3, every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that Psalm 53 is repeated in the book of Psalms. You'll find it again in Psalm 14, because God is making the point, so that I don't miss it, that he is altogether glorious, and I am altogether sinful, and I need him desperately. I need him desperately. I cannot survive without him, and if I die without him, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, if you die without me, you'll die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. I don't make excuses. I don't just throw heaven's door wide open for everyone and anyone to get into my heaven. You must be made right. If any man is in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I have to make you again. I have to make you fresh by faith in the Lord Jesus, because I'm a sinner. So this man's got a real angle on the problem of what it is to be a human being. The majesty of the Creator, the misery of man. And if you've got your Bible open where I've got it, you'll see Psalm number 51 begins with these lovely words. Have mercy upon me, O God, the mercy of God, the mercy of God. This man, this psalmist, he understands the majesty of God. He understands the misery of man, that we're all sinners, we're heading to hell, we're under the judgment of God, and he has a handle on this, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And tonight we're not preaching that you need to turn over a new leaf. We're not preaching that you need to try a lot harder than you've ever tried before to get to heaven. What we're saying is this, that there is mercy in God, there is forgiveness there for all who repent, and God is able to change me. Psalm 51 verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Not according to my works. Not according to what I do, not according to my baptism, not according to where I go, not because of who I'm born or because of something I've done, but just because God's a merciful God, because he loves, and because he loves to forgive sin, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, put it away. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. This man's got a handle on it all, hasn't he? He's got a handle on the majesty of God. He's got a handle on the majesty of God. He's got a handle on the misery of man. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. He sees God's way of salvation. God is a merciful God. If I come in repentance and faith in his Son, he's able to cleanse me. He's able to forgive me. If I see that Jesus, the Son of the living God, has died for me at the cross of Calvary, he's able to forgive me. And look at this, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He's able to make me right again. What an angle this man has on the things of God. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Is he deceived? No, he's gone through life. He really has seen life as it is. Is he deluded? He's a smart person. He understands the mystery, the deep things of God. He understands something of the majesty of God. He understands something of the misery of man. He understands something of God's way of salvation by mercy. And right the way through this book of Psalms, there's a story within the story. Story within the story. For right the way through the book of Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist will speak of all those things, and he will speak of one even greater thing beyond all of that, beyond my misery, beyond God's majesty, beyond the mercy of God. He'll speak of the great mystery of the person of the Lord Jesus. And if you went through the book of Psalms, you would find that this psalmist speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would speak to us about the human sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ would make. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read you a verse or two here or there. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. So that book tells me that God was going to send a person prepared to die as a sacrifice. And if we went to another psalm, Psalm 22, you would find how he would die. He would die crucified with his hands and his feet pierced and mocked and rejected. If you went to another psalm, Psalm 16, you would find that this man, the psalmist speaks about the person who's died as being raised again from the dead. This man of the Psalms, he knows about the majesty of the Creator. He knows about the fact that my misery and sin cut off from God. He knows about God's way of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus. And he knows about the mystery of the coming person of Jesus Christ. So is he deluded? Is he deceived? I want to suggest to you this man of Psalm 146 has had a deep experience of God. Psalm 146, where we started. Verse number 5. Here's his deep experience of God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He's found three tremendous things that you and I must find in God. He finds hope, he finds help, and he finds happiness. Tremendous. Hope and help and happiness. He's a man who has hope of salvation. We read a little of that already in Psalm 51. He knows that there's nothing that he can give to God to get rid of his sin. He knows that there's nowhere he can go. He knows that religion won't do it, but he has said this in the Psalms. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man under whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. This is a man, and he knows that if he comes as a repentant sinner to God, and he confesses his sin, he knows that God has done something great, something beyond anything that man could do. God has taken his only son. Peter, many years later, would put it like this, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that God would take his son as a perfect sacrifice, and he would take my sin, and he would put my sin on his son, and his son would die for me at the cross of Calvary. This is a man who's got hope of salvation, hope of the forgiveness of sins, hope to be made right with God. He's got hope of eternal life. Hope and help and happiness. I wonder if you have that hope. There's no other source of hope other than the hope that is ours in Christ. And this man of Psalm 147, 146, I should say, he's tried hope elsewhere, you know. Verse number 2 of Psalm 146, while I live will I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How do I know if I've got hope? Put yourself in verse 4 of Psalm 146. When your last breath is gone, and they put you down into the earth, what will you have left? When your last breath is gone, and they lower you down into the earth, what have you got left? If your answer is nothing, you don't have hope. If your answer is nothing, you need Christ. If your answer is, I've got nothing, then you need to get a grip on what this man is speaking about. He's speaking about the forgiveness of sin. He's speaking about the fact that God's made the sacrifice in Jesus Christ. He's speaking about the fact that I can have eternal life and I can have hope of being raised again and hope of being in heaven by putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It's hope. Hope that goes beyond the grave. Hope that goes beyond my final breath. Hope that goes on and on and on forever. For God so loved this old world, says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish. The end is not the grave. The end is not the last breath. The end is not the dust and ashes. Need not perish, but have eternal life. And that man in Psalm 146 has that. And therefore, in the midst of all of his suffering and difficulty, he can speak to his soul and he can say to his soul, soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nobody can take it from me. Nobody can take it away from me. Because I've got him. I've got hope in him. I know him as my Lord and Saviour. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? If you have, you've got hope that lasts forever. If you don't, you've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Our Father, we do just come into thy presence. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for these tremendous psalms that we've looked at. We do pray, our Father, that Thou would bless these words to us. We thank, our Father, of the challenge of them. We pray, Father, that Thou would speak to each of our heart tonight. We thank, our Father, of the real need that each of us have of hope. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we have it in Thee and in Thee alone. We thank, our Father, of that cross that gives us hope, a cross, our Father, in which God has given His very best for us, that we might have hope of eternal life. We pray, Father, that Thou would bless Thy word to each of us tonight. And we pray, our Father, for salvation, as we would put our trust in Thee. We offer thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.